Morning for you guys that are in a different time zone other than Eastern and Central. Hope everybody is doing well. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Florida. Matt says it is sleeting slash raining slash snowing in Denver, so that's a good place for it to do that, right, Matt?
I guess so, if you're not living here. But whatever.
As long as you don't have to go anywhere, that's a great thing, right?
That's right. Yeah, and I looked at the weather in Spanish Fort, and it's supposed to be 60s and 70s for the next few days for the high country. So they're going to have a beautiful weather out there.
Yeah, they've got the, all the folks that are attending the hog hunt are converging on Dallas right now. And they're all headed up to Spanish Fort in the Note Recovery Center this afternoon. There's going to be a lot of BS spread out there this weekend, right, Matt?
That's an understatement.
A lot of BS going on. So anyway, okay, let's move forward here. So got several things today to go over, and we're going to have some time at the after we get through with our questions that were sent in. We'll do some open mic stuff. So if you've got anything that's on your mind as far as questions on performing loans, let's go through those and get them taken care of. So Matt, looks like we have, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me, Kevin Cunningham up first.
God bless you. Go ahead, Kevin, you're unmuted, but you do have yourself self-muted. So if you can unmute your own self, you'll be able to talk on the call.
Excuse me again. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
He is self-muted, Joe.
Kevin, so unmute yourself there, and we can move forward here. Yeah, I'd love to be able to talk to him because I have some questions I want to ask him about this prior to.
You want me to go on to the next one?
Yeah, let's go on to the next question and just let Kevin know that when he gets himself unmuted or when he gets himself taken care of, just come on and we'll get it done. So let's go to Michael Rogers' question there. Is Mr. Rogers on the phone there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. How you doing?
Very good. For those of you that don't know, what is the name of your company, Mike?
Well, my last name being Rogers. My company name is Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Properties.
I love that.
Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Properties. That's my house business, my note business, since I live in Lexington, Kentucky, and we in the bluegrass country. The name of my note business is Bluegrass Capital Fund, LLC.
And that's a very powerful name, man. I mean, that sounds like it could be a Wall Street billion-dollar hedge fund, dude.
That's the idea. That's what Eddie taught us.
That's what I have done. Very good. Okay, so what you've got here is you've got, well, go through it with us and share with me why you want to do a lease option versus going ahead and just selling it on a land contract.
So I guess that's a good question. I'm trying to get a guidance on what I should do. I just thought just the lease option would be the way to do it. But as I've learned more about land contracts, I'm not against that either. So I guess that's what I'm here to ask you guys for guidance.
Okay.
So my Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Properties, I have 11 rental houses, and this particular one was completely renovated and kind of made up to retail level because that's how I bought it, fixed up from another investor. And it's not cash flowing as well as I'd like it to. So
right.
it's good. You know, I've got a DCR of 1.6, so I'm covering my debt pretty well. You know, it generates about $3,000 a month net income after taxes, insurance, and maintenance. $3,000 a year, I'm sorry.
Okay. For everybody that's on the call, he said DCR, and that's debt coverage ratio, guys. Debt coverage ratio. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so able to pay the mortgage and everything. It's just, this is a good, this is the one of the houses of the 11 that would be a good candidate to sell. So either land contract or lease option. I don't.
Okay.
I
well,
here's the numbers, and then you can advise. We can go from there.
Yeah. Why don't we do that? Why don't we play with the numbers here? Okay. Just a bit? So you, let's see, the house is worth about, have you talked to your borrowers about, or your buyers, potential buyers, about a price for the property as of yet?
No, I haven't even approached them. I think that they would be interested. Either that, or I would just have them move out at the next lease and just go ahead and clean it up and sell it as a retail flip.
Right, so, gotcha. But well, of course, that would be one of the options. But let's kind of play with the numbers here. Now, there's a couple of different things that you could do. If you wanted to keep it as a lease option and you wanted to do maybe a 12 or a 24-month lease option, you could certainly put into that option agreement that you would, at the time that when they exercise their option, you would have the house appraised or have a BPO done on the property, and whatever the price of the property at that point would be is what is would be the purchase price. Okay. So if you think that this area is going to have some pretty decent appreciation over the next 12 to 24 months, where we're saying it's worth somewhere around $84,000 now, that it may be worth $90,000 or more in the next 2 years. The way to not lose on that gain would be to do it as a lease option. So it would make sense to keep it as a lease option versus going ahead and doing it as a land contract, because on the land contract, you would lock in, you know, whatever the price is now is what it's going to be. Okay. So what are you feeling? How are you feeling about the market in that area? Do you think, is there an inventory problem? Is there, I mean, what do you?
It's a good middle-class neighborhood that price appreciation is 1 to 2% a year, if that.
Okay.
It will not be worth anywhere close to 90 in a couple of years from now.
Okay. Okay. So then there wouldn't really be any good reason to do that now.
Correct.
So I would get it, you know, as close to that $84,000-$85,000 as I possibly could. Now, here's the thing. By doing it like this, and you know, I just want to kind of be devil's advocate here. So we talked about kind of the lease option and if it were going to go up in value, that would be a good thing to do, the lease option versus going ahead and selling it with a land contract. Now, the second thing is, since you do owe $57,400 on this, we're going to do it as a wrap. Okay. So you're going to, let's just say round numbers, you sell it to them for 85, and what kind of money would they have to put into this?
So that's what I'm not sure. I had listed on there a $5,000 down payment. That
right.
may be a stretch for them, but they've been making raises, and the husband told me that they're both pulling in good income now, so they may be able to save up enough to get 5,000. So that's what I'm going with. Assuming they can put 5,000 down, and that's why I was saying that my offer price, I was actually thinking of a land contract then versus a lease option. I was thinking lock the price in now at 75,000, have them pay 5,000 now with the option to buy it for 70,000 5 years from now.
Right. You know, here's the other thing on this, and when I see the question on down here, told that Dodd-Frank requires a lease option purchase. You know, Michael, you're a dealer. So whatever you do with this, and it's my opinion, and again, my opinion may be a little different. I'm gonna err, since we are dealers, and there's no way around that, I'm gonna err on the side of caution, and I'm gonna go ahead and do a regular, even if I were doing a lease option, I would go ahead and fully qualify these guys and use an RMLO.
Okay. Yeah,
I just feel like that anytime, if this thing ended up in litigation, you know that the judge is going to err on the side of the consumer. You know, you're a dealer, you've got 11 other properties, you're in the real estate business, you're in the note business. So I would just err on the side of caution if that were the way that you wanted to go. So Matt, transfer the screen over to me just a second, please.
Okay, as you're getting that hooked up, so you're saying qualify the buyers and go to an RMLO,
yeah. Residential
and do a wrap mortgage then? Because I didn't even thought about it. I was kind of thinking I was structuring a wrap mortgage, but not really calling it that, by getting payments from them, lowering their rent, but still allowing me to pay the mortgage. So in essence, I'm doing a wrap with the lease option.
You're doing a wrap, and you're going to do, what's your interest rate on the underlying $57,400?
Let's go with 5%.
Okay. All right. So you're going to do this a little higher than obviously 5%, just because. So let's just say you do sell it to them for $85,000 with $5,000 down. So you've got an $80,000 wraparound, which is subject to the $57,400 underlying lien. And why don't we just say that we're going to do it at 8.5%, just to see where that comes out. So let me, let's calculate a payment here. So let me see. Okay.
I'm following where you're going, but I'm just wondering why we just wouldn't keep it as just a lease payment for the next couple of years.
And that's fine. That you could certainly do that. You can certainly do that. I was just going to see what it looked like, as far as that goes, because if we did this for 20 years at 8.5% on $80,000, your payment's going to be $566.67. So I'm assuming that's probably not enough, even though they will be paying the taxes and insurance on this. Is that going to be enough to pay your underlying lien payment?
Right.
Is it?
The
$566.67 amortized payment.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screen that you're typing. I guess I'm a little bit confused on which column I should be looking at.
Okay, so I just said
it's all the same.
It's worth $85,000. Yep. You sell it for $85,000. They give you a $5,000 down payment,
right.
8.5% interest for 240 months. Monthly payment is $566.67, and of course you can give them credit for those payments, but it's going to be a new loan. So if we were looking, you've got 240 payments remaining. I'm just looking at this as setting it up as a brand new loan, and let's just see, you know, how it kind of pans out.
Yeah, my PI and TI right now is I'm looking at my numbers here on the sheet. It's 415. For PI and 131 for TI. So that's, what's that, 545?
Yeah, and what you would do, so their monthly payment then, if you were going to do it like that, would be $566.67,
right.
Plus it would be the taxes and insurance. Now, if we decrease the number of months, then that would raise the payment, and as long as they can afford that, that would be a good thing. So
yeah, they're paying $800 a month easily right now on the rent.
Okay. Oh, so, hold on just a second. So we're going to do 15 years. So 15 years would be $787.79.
So why are you typing that number? Why isn't it just being calculated, I guess?
Because this particular spreadsheet that I'm using doesn't calculate the payment.
Oh, okay. You're doing that all
I've got a glitch in it. So we're going to 180 months versus 240. Now, the bottom line is on this is that regardless, if you were to, let's just say you wanted to, at some point in time, you wanted to sell this, and let's just look at it and say, okay, what would an investor pay for this? So you've got 180 payments, and let's just say you were going to sell 100 payments on this. At an average of an 8% return, that would give you enough to pay off that underlying first. Follow me?
Yes.
And then you would own the back end on it, is what I'm trying to say. So let me just run through it again so there's no confusion. Okay, so you sell it to the people that are living in it now for $85,000. They put $5,000 down, so you finance $80,000 at 8.5% for 180 months. Monthly payment is $787.79, principal and interest. They're going to be paying the tax, escrowing the taxes and insurance on top of that. And we need to change this here as well. Okay, so your $80,000 wrap is subject to that underlying $57,400 first mortgage you've got on the property, right? So you're going to pay your underlying first mortgage, which you said the payment was around 400 and change.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And so you would keep the difference between whatever your payment is on your underlying lien, you'd keep the difference between that and the $787 a month payment. Now, that's kind of the way I would set it up if I were doing this. And then, of course, setter's fair, but all things being equal, you know, they've got to be able to qualify for that $787 monthly payment plus the taxes and insurance. Now, at some point in time, then, that if you wanted to sell that, sell a partial on this, if you sold, what did we just do here? If you sold 100 payments on that partial, hold on a second. Okay, and that is totally wrong on that. We did an 8%. Okay, price. Okay, so if we sold 100 payments of that loan, that would be worth $57,364. And that would give you basically enough to pay off your underlying lien. Now, of course, you wouldn't get any more money on this for 100 months, but you would own the last 80 payments pretty much free and clear. That would pay off the underlying first, which would get that off of your debt to income ratio or your company's debt to income ratio for borrowing other monies.
Yeah.
So that's one way you could do it. The other would be to go ahead and do the lease option at this point. Go ahead and qualify them for that. And I would do it. I'd do it a 12-month lease option. And I would make it renewable every 12 months or until, you know, that at the end of 12 months, you've got the option to say, guys, you know, this isn't working out. I want to sell the property and get my money. So I can pay it off, put the difference into some other investment. So you've got to kind of look at it both ways. If you're not sure what you want to do, then lease option is certainly the way to go right now.
So talk about the land contract, but before you do, let me back up with this example you just did. I think if I went to my tenants and say, hey, I can set you up on a mortgage, charge you $85,000 for this house, you give me $5,000 now, and then go get a mortgage at 8%, they're going to say, why would I do that? Their interest rates are 3.25, Michael. I'll just go get my own loan and buy it outright from you.
Right. And that's fine. And I would say, and that is an option that you have. Remember, Michael, you're not the bank. So you're not going to even try to compete with Bank of America or Wells Fargo or any of the banks out there. So right. Could you lower the interest rate on this and say, okay, I'll do it at 6%. I mean, again, I tell people when I'm selling a property, I give them an option, and I have people tell me that all the time. Well, you know, Joe, you're charging me 8%, and I can go to the bank. I said, well, then I would suggest you go to the bank and you go through that process because right. I take cash as well.
Right.
So it really just depends on on what it is you want to do on this, how long you've owned it. Do you want to wrap it and hold on to it? It sounds like to me you really would just preferably have them go out and qualify for a new mortgage and pay you off.
Well, that's certainly one option, but the one that I had sent in, the one I wanted to explore is...
Okay, well, let's go back to that then. Matt, go ahead and take the screen back and pop that back up.
Yeah, because I think what you're suggesting is interesting, and that is kind of the business that we're in, is creating notes and being able to sell a partial.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought that. I think that overcomplicates what I wanted to do here.
Okay.
Probably because I'm still new. I've only been in this for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Mine was just a simple thought of, hey, let's just do, maybe it is a land contract. I wanted to say, here's the sales price, $75,000, which is below market value, to incentivize right. them. Get them to come up with $5,000 down. Now, to do that, it's going to cut into their savings and their income. So I would have them sign a lease, a five-year lease. So that's what I call the lease option, is they lease it from me at 7.25. So their current rent is $800. I shave off $75 a month for 5 years. That basically is the $5,000. If you do the math, they're saving $75 a month over 5 years. It's about $4,900.
Right.
So that pays for their down payment, but it keeps them in the home. The expenses shift off of me because now they, in essence, own the home. And I guess they don't. And they're just making payments on it. But the incentive to keep the house up will be on their dime. And then I get $5,000 cash now. Maybe we'll be able to suck off some cash right now. And then even though I lower my mortgage, it becomes I've kind of sold the house to them.
Right. Okay. And
but that's not really a note, though, I guess. It's not a note that I could turn
around
and sell.
You know, really what you've done is, yes, you've obligated yourself to these folks. So let's just kind of back up here and say, okay, here are the three real options here. Actually, there'd be four. Number one, you continue to let them, or actually five. Number one, you just continue on with what you're doing now, not do a lease option, and do another 12-month lease on it, and then let it go at that. Number two, you could do a lease option, setting it up just like you have it here. And it, essentially what you're doing here is obviously you're doing a wraparound lease. All you're doing is you're taking in their lease payment, you're taking and making your monthly payment to your lender on your on the $57,000 loan, right. And you're keeping the difference, okay? Yeah. So that's what you're doing if you do a straight rent with them, or if you're doing a lease option, same thing.
Yep.
You could sell it seller financing, and so maybe the number is the same number is $75,000, and with $5,000 down. But just understand, if you do create a note on this and you want to sell it, you're going to have to sell it for enough to pay off the discount. Probably is going selling it at $75,000. The discount would eat up that. Would eat into any profit you have on that.
Yes.
And then the last would be to encourage these guys, incentivize them to go out and get a new loan and pay you off. So maybe you do the lease option at 75 with five down, or maybe you say, look, I'll sell you the house for $70,000 if you can go out and get a new loan on this, and you pay your underlying off, and you keep the $13,000 or so that's the difference.
Yeah. So I was kind of leaning on doing what I have here, which is, how am I trying to say this? I'm trying to shift the responsibility of maintaining the house, so it's one less call I got to handle, so that they get a pride of ownership and they like the house, the location, so they, just sell it to them. So I guess what I'm hearing is approach them and say, you want to buy it from me, go get a loan and pay me off. Or
yep.
Let's do this lease agreement, give me $5,000 down, and I'll lower you a month to 7.25 and sign a lease agreement.
Right. So you're saying $725 a month, not $7.
That,
okay.
That's right.
See, but here's the thing. With the lease option, unless you put that they are responsible for all repairs and all maintenance, then you're still responsible for that. You're just doing a lease with an option to buy.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So really there's two agreements.
So that's what I need to understand this. Should I use a land contract and make sure I stipulate that it's your house, so you need to take care of it because you're kind of buying it?
Well, they are buying it. They, you know, with the lease, with a land contract, absolutely, it's their house, and they're buying it. Okay, with the lease option, you're gonna put together two different agreements here. You're gonna have the regular lease, okay, which is talks about the monthly payments, and then you need to have a separate option agreement, which is the option to buy it for X amount of dollars within a certain period of time. So you have a 12-month lease, okay, and that's your lease agreement stating it's $725 a month, and whatever other terms you want to put in that lease agreement. And then, so at the end of 12 months, then they're going to have an option to buy that either at a price that's negotiated now or a price that is going to be negotiated at the time of purchase, okay? So that would really entail two different agreements. So really, you're still just renting it to them unless you, and they have no clear ownership with the lease option. They're just still leasing the property. So they are going to keep it up. Well, if they do have in their mind that a lease option only works, well, it can work both ways. It can work whether they know they're going to do it in their mind. They think they're going to be able to take that exercise that option when it comes due. So they may take better care of the house, but still, you know, the other part of that is are they really, if the compressor goes out on the AC unit, are they going to come up with a $3,500? Or is that going to fall back on you? You're still just leasing it with an option to buy. They don't really, they have no ownership in that property. They simply have a lease with an option to buy it within a certain period of time. Now, if you sell it to them on the land contract, they're going to own the house. Okay, that is going to be their house, going to be in their name. Just with the fact that you have an underlying first lien on that is of no consequence. You're going to amortize a loan over a period of time at an interest rate, and they're going to pay that off over time, just like they would if they went to Wells Fargo and got a mortgage loan from Wells Fargo. If they got a $70,000 loan from Wells Fargo, you're going to be paid off, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to own the house. In that case, if you do a $70,000 loan contract wrap in it, then it's the same thing. You're the lender at that point. With the lease option, you're not the lender. You still own the property, and you still have financial responsibilities for any repairs that are done to that property.
Yeah, I guess so. I get that. Based on what you just said, I think it's a land contract that I want to do, because in my lease option, right there in the middle of the section, I say that what you just said. I have been told that Dodd-Frank requires to have two components. The first is the purchase option. The second is the lease agreement. You've just confirmed that. That's good.
Right.
But
yeah,
my purchase
exactly
option, the $5,000 down, I thought would give them the incentive by saying, you know, if anything breaks, I need to go fix it because I'm gonna lose my $5,000. If they walk away, I keep the deposit. I keep the down payment, right?
Yes. I mean, if that is truly option money, and what that $5,000 is doing is it's guaranteeing that they can buy that in 12 months for a pre-negotiated price. Okay. They still don't own the house. The house is still yours. They're just leasing it and saying, okay, I have an option to buy it in 12 months for X amount of dollars. If I don't exercise my option, and if, Michael, you decide not to give them an additional, say, a 12-month option on that, then they would lose their option money. Now, option money can be refundable or it can be non-refundable. I would, in this case, I would make it non-refundable.
Oh, without a doubt, non-refundable. Okay, I think, and I don't want to take up a lot of time on here, so I think, in summary, what I'll do is I do want to do a land contract, but do you guys have a source of boilerplate land contracts or lease options?
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty simple document. There should be some on the website. Under the seller finance side of it, the performing side of the business. And if not, just let me know or let Zarina know, and we could probably pull something together for you. But yeah, and just while you're still on the phone, we got a lot of comments here, a lot of questions on this. So I'm just going to keep you on the phone if you don't mind. general account says if you do a lease option, you are responsible for taxes and repairs, and that's correct, and that's a major reason to do the contract for deed. Why not sell with the delayed close and do an occupancy before close? And that's from Bob Esworth. Yeah, we could do that. Still a little more convoluted than I would do the, if this is what you truly want to do, I would do the contract for deed land contract.
What is an
RMLN or whatever, an RMLO, Joyce, is that right? Matt already answered that, a residential mortgage loan originator. We've got a couple that's listed on the site there. Pat Bilheimer in Phoenix is great, and I think there's another one on there as well. Gail says, does the monthly payment include taxes and insurance? If not, well, the taxes and insurance, Gail, are not, that's just a cost item. We only calculate a discount based on the principal and interest, not the taxes and insurance. That's just a pass-through item. And I would certainly, Michael, if you're going to do this as a contract for deed, I would certainly require that taxes and insurance both be escrowed, be made inside the monthly payment. So it would be a PITI monthly payment, and you would have it, and you would make sure that so the taxes and insurance are paid.
I think the big aha moment for me was realizing that the lease option still requires me to keep the repairs. That's one of the things I'm trying to avoid, is just pass that on to them.
And you could pass that on to them, and I've done that not in a long time, but what I've done in the past is say, okay, anything under $500, you're responsible for. Anything over $500, I'm responsible for. And you know, if it's your refrigerator and something happens to it and it's $300, you know, they're going to pay for it. Or if the AC needs to have the, you know, some service done on it and it's less than 500, but if it's a major item, a compressor goes out, you're going to have to put a roof on it, that's going to be your dime. So really, if you want to shift that onto them, and they're going to feel more comfortable doing that, if they own the property. Okay.
Right.
So that's really, if that's what you're trying to avoid, then that's certainly the thing to do now. But understand one other thing on this, and then we'll move on. Again, if you want to try to sell this or sell a partial on this, just understand that the partial that you sell is going to have to be enough to pay off the underlying lien. Okay, so you couldn't sell a 60-month partial on this for $30,000 because really, whomever bought that partial would be in second position, in essence, or they would. It wouldn't be in essence; they really would be. So basically, you're going to have to sell enough. If Colonial or if I were to buy it, you would have to sell it for enough to pay off that underlying lien. Right. But I would certainly bump up the interest rate a bit. These folks probably aren't bankable at the end of the day.
I'm thinking that they may not.
No, they're not going to be able to. Just don't even think they're going to be able to go to the bank and get a 3.25% loan. I mean, I think there's probably a 2% chance that could happen. So, you know, so maybe it's not 8.5%, maybe it's 7.5%. But I wouldn't go. You know, I wouldn't go much lower than that, because remember, Michael, you're not the bank. Okay. And
right.
I think this is the opportunity for them to buy a house and not have to, other than going through the, you know, through an RMLO. And just remember that the biggest part of Dodd-Frank and SAFE Act is really, it's more so the debt to income ratio not being over 43-44% of their income, their gross monthly income. You, whatever your credit is, you can make that credit judgment. So if they've got a 520 credit score, you know, just because they had some challenges in the past, 2 years ago they, you know, had they lost a car, or they couldn't pay their credit card bills or something like that, but they're making payments now, but they're caught up now, you can certainly go ahead and do that. But the biggest kick in the SAFE Act is going to be that they can afford the property. So Again, right. So I don't think you need to discount the house to them either. You know, Joe LeCount makes a comment here, you're leaving money on the table. And I know exactly where he's going with that. And that's simply, don't sell, you know, if you're going to sell it to them, why would you sell it to them for a discount?
As an incentive, so they'll do it. That's what I'm
Yeah, but
saying to
there's
him.
other ways you can incentivize. Giving them a $2,000 discount is an incentive.
Yeah.
Selling a house that's worth $84,000 to them, it's truly worth $84,000, and that's what the comps show for $70,000. You're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah,
Okay?
no,
There's
I
no
realize
reason
that. I
to
realize
sell
I
them.
leave money on the table.
Yeah. So you can't, you know, I mean, there's only so much you can do in the fact that you need to, you know, we need to sell these houses. If we're going to sell or finance them, we're doing, there's their incentive right there. They don't have to go through and they don't have to give a DNA swipe and they don't have to give, you know, pledge their first child and all of that. I mean, we're
Great
giving
point.
them an alternative to having to go. And, you know, I'm kidding,
Yeah.
but
If I did,
it is a lot easier to do that.
okay. So the last
Okay.
comment I'll say is then, and I appreciate all the help, Joe and others. But say with you, Joe LeCount, do I need the RMLO if I'm doing a land contract? I don't think so. Would I?
You know, I would go ahead and do that. If you're doing a land, yes, you need to do it as a land contract. Absolutely. It's still a security. Just because the banks that just understand, Michael, there's two different types of security instruments lenders use. One is going to be the note and mortgage, and the second is going to be the deed of trust or the trust deed. Okay, and then the third option, which banks do not use, but all kind of smaller investors slash lenders use that, and that's the contract for deed, land contract. And basically, all that's happening there is that the deed is being held by you versus it transferring to the borrower when the sale takes place. Because if you've got a mortgage and note, when the closing takes place, the lender gets the note, has the promissory note, is the promise to pay, and the borrower has the deed. So in order to get your deed back, if they default, then you've got to go through the foreclosure process, the judicial process. So, with the land contract, until they get some type of equitable interest in that, which means they get, you know, 20% equity in this property or 15% equity in this property, then you're going to simply exercise your option to get them out of there. And I can't think of the proper term for it right now, but you won't have to go through the judicial process. Okay?
Okay. All right.
So, Matt, and you answered a lot of these questions, one for Barb. Barb, that is the one I, the power quota, the quota that I use is much older and it's not as sophisticated as the one that you've got on the website. And Gail Hampton says, new to real estate investing in note school. What is ITV? What is RMLO? And Matt, you answered that investment to value. So if we've got a $100,000 property that's worth $100,000 and we only want to be in that investment at 80% ITV or investment to value, we would only pay $80,000 for that $100,000 value property. RMLO again is the residential mortgage loan originator and UPB is unpaid balance. And Joe, you're right. Got some more questions here. Why, Gail says, why would one do a lease option instead of a land contract? What are the pros and cons of each? And I think we've gone over those. Gail, we're still using a lease option is still just a hybrid of a just a rent, just renting the house to someone. The land contract is we're giving the owner or the buyer ownership of the property, therefore they have to take care of the they're responsible for taxes and insurance and any maintenance that needs to be done on that. Okay. And Joe says a lease option really only obligates the seller more to the buyer, and you're exactly right on that, Joe. Okay. And Dave Fernicky said, with the land contract, the buyer receives the benefit of the interest and the write-off on that as well. With the lease option, unless otherwise stated, the buyer does not receive the interest write-off, sell the tax deduction. And that's true again on that, Michael. The borrower on that is going to receive the benefit of the interest write-off on that. And then again, Joe does comment and say, don't call it a down payment, but rather an option. It's option consideration. And you're totally correct on that. Jean says, do not call it down. Yep, there you go. And Dave again says, require they take out a home warranty. And Christian says, Joe, we always have lease optioners pay repairs after 30 days. We often get a good home warranty, which covers HVAC heating, air conditioning, and so on, and just small bid items. Never discount the house. Yep, absolutely. There's no reason to discount a property. You can't think that they're doing you a favor. You're actually doing them a favor by not having them go through that whole process of doing that. Okay, Matt, we've got all of those. Good topic. Let's go back to Kevin. Is Kevin able to get on the line at this point?
Let's find out. Kevin, I've unmuted you again, and I see that you're still self-muted. So if you could either type into the board and let us know that you have you don't have a mic or there's some sort of other issue. Otherwise, Joe, I don't know if you wanted to.
Yeah, let me just kind of run through it here real quick. And there's a couple of questions, but I can go ahead and ask him those. So Kevin's question is, recently completed my first note purchase. However, because my friend was helping me get started, but was overseas, my company purchased the note with her funds. Now that she is back and can sign the documents, the note is currently in my company's name. I want to transfer it to her. Okay, so let me ask a couple of questions here, Kevin. Number one, is this strictly a loan and she's holding on to the note for collateral? Or is this some kind of partnership you've entered into? Couple of ways you could do this. You could form a separate entity of which you and her both own the company. If it's a 50-50 deal, you would own 50%, she would own 50%. If not, you could do a quick claim deed, quit claiming the deed from your company name into her, either her entity or her name as well. So it really depends on what your goal is here, and is this a long-term hold, or is this a short-term hold? If it's a short-term hold where you're going to sell a partial and pay her off out of the proceeds, then you may want to leave it alone. If it's something you're going to hold longer term and you're going to do more business together, again, she's putting up the money, you're finding the deals. When you dispose of the note, either through selling a partial or selling the entire note, you're going to split the profits, pay her off, and then split whatever profits you have there. In that case, you may want to form a separate entity where you, whatever your splits are, have it done like that. And then third, you could do that just do a quick claim deed from your company over to however she wants to own that as well. Okay. So that, if that doesn't take care of it, let's see if we had any questions on that. Let's see, wrong deal. Okay. It's her note 100%. Okay. She has a company, quick claim deed. Yep. There you go. Yep. So that's what I would do. All right. Perfect. So quick claim deed is the way to go on that one. Let's see, Matt, we have, I know that, and I don't, is Hubert on the phone today? He may or may not be. Let me scroll here and see.
I don't see Hubert on the phone.
This was a great question, though, so let's just go ahead and kind of go through it. Can you make that a little bigger there?
You don't have your bifocals on today?
Oh, ha ha. yeah. Okay. So Hubert had a question the other day, and I thought it would benefit the group, so I just wanted to post it here. We kind of answered it offline because it was a quick one to answer, and it was on a specific loan. So Hubert says, what is the general rule for payment received before boarding with the servicer? For example, we closed a loan on 119, but boarded the loan on 216 with Peak. Who will receive the February payment? If the February payment will come to Hubert on that if it's made to Peak or made out to someone else, and Peak will be responsible for getting that payment and then crediting that or getting that into Hubert's account on this. So there's always a kind of a drag or a period of time there where it's kind of in between by the time you buy the loan and then if the servicing is transferred or whatever it is. So it's always a payment there that's kind of in limbo. But if you've bought it as of receiving that first payment, in this case in January, that first payment is yours and it will come back to you. It may just take 30, 60 days to get that credited back and into your account there. So that's what that looks like. Let's see, what other questions do we have, Matt? We do have a couple more here. Sandy says, how can you use a quick claim deed on the note only? I don't believe he owns the property. Sandy, you're exactly right. He doesn't own the property. He owns the note. So you're correct on that. So what's going to happen is just the note's going to have to be re-endorsed and re-recorded. Okay. That's all that has to be done. Robin, what are you saying there? Let's see. Tell that young whippersnapper that his day will come. You're right. Matt's day will come. Joyce Bordelone is. I keep asking him when he and Miss Emily are going to have their first child. And he keeps saying they've got it already, and it's their little dog. So yeah, I got you. Let's see. Joyce Bordelone is placing a loan with your servicer and taking it. If it were serviced by one servicing company, you're going to board it with a new company. It's just a term in the business that you're going to place that loan to be serviced with a different servicer. Okay. So it's just placing that loan to be serviced. If it were Peak or if it were Madison or if it were Allied or National Asset, whatever it is, wherever it goes, that's what it is. Thanks, Raymond. I know you will pass that on. And I think that Charles had already answered that question for Hubert the other day, Raymond. So, yeah. Deborah says, we are ready to sell our first partial. Can you walk me through the process, fill out the sale agreement, and send it to whom? Do we need to fill out the paperwork for our servicer, and will they charge us more for doing this? And the answer to that, will they charge you more for doing that? Yeah, that's part of the, you know, it depends on who you're using and what they're going to charge you, but you certainly just need to check with your servicer and see what that looks like. And this is, Deborah, this is a little more than just a 5 or 6 minute answer on this. So what I'd like for you to do is, and Matt had posted this, have you watched the partial videos on the member site at this point? So what I'd like for you to do is go in and watch those. The paperwork is pretty self-explanatory as far as the partial, the purchase and sale agreement for a partial that is on the site. So run through that. And as you go through that, if you have some quick questions, of course, send that to the help desk. But if you need to go through that even further, we need to, because it's going to take a few minutes if I were to walk through that completely. And it's really kind of a redundant process. If we need to do that, we could schedule that to do on the first of a call instead of on the tail end of a call. Or it may be something that Eddie could walk through with you on Monday's call, depending on time there. Correct, Matt?
Yes, that's correct. And I'm showing where there are five videos that we had at the appreciation event that we had this past summer or week?
Yes,
whatever it was.
That's in fall, in November.
Yeah, they all kind of meld together at some point, right? No, but if you go to your on-demand training and go to the annual appreciation event videos, there are five videos that would be great to kind of get you started in what the legal contracts look like, what you need to fill out, how you need to fill them out. And Ms. Speed actually walked through the filling out of that paperwork. And also Jeff Watson was on hand, and he's the one who actually helped create the partial contract. So the other thing is that resource tab, if you go to, train tab, sorry, go to your performing and go to your performing notes material. And I'm not sure if you've seen this, depending on if you're selling the partial agreement, you go to your partial agreements. The sell partial agreement, if you're selling the partial, is the agreement you want to familiarize yourself with. And like I said, that those videos will give you an initial understanding of kind of what you're looking at and what you need to fill out. Once that's the case, if we don't have it on the call, we'll have Ms. Speed reach out to you, and she can work through the partial agreement with you and what you don't need to fill out. But having some of it filled out or having some understanding of what you need to talk to her about is important. That way you can have an educated conversation with her, not just, hey, what do I do kind of thing.
Well, and you know what I found too with the videos and the mini lessons, Matt, is that you can kind of stop them and start them as you're kind of going through and kind of catch up, instead of trying to do it on a call where you're just trying to go through it. So you can kind of stop it and start it and then kind of go through on that as well. And then Dave did mention also, Dave said, go through the Monday videos for the contract walkthrough on the contract was just done. Dave, Matt, do you remember when that was done?
Couple of weeks ago, I think, if I remember correctly, Dave, if you can remind me. But yeah, I think it was a couple of weeks. And I can, if she emails content, I can look back on those and get an exact date on those too.
So. Yeah, there are several of those. So yep, so that's very good. So, okay, Matt, what else? So we've got a couple of things. You've got, I think you've got Martha's Mastermind that's coming up. No, we don't know. That's done. That's full. We've got the Titanium Mastermind that's coming up as well. Guys, if you're Titanium and you have not signed up for that, it's going to be a great event. So make sure you get that done. And Matt, we won't spend a whole lot of time on that. They can certainly go right to the website and do that.
They have about 50 people who have registered for the Titanium so far. So they do have a quite a big group. They just want to know the actual headcount at this point. So if you are registering, register, because there are some tickets and some food opportunities that they're needing to get actual headcounts. Otherwise, like Mr. Speed said, you're going to be sitting on the bus while everybody else is in the game. So
hey, at least the drivers usually keep the buses running while they're waiting, keep the AC on. And then, guys, the other thing is, if you haven't signed up for Summer Summit, I got the big shh on that last week, Matt, as far as what's coming up from Eddie. But, guys, let me just tell you something. There are some very, very, very exciting changes that are coming up, and they're you know, Eddie and the office team there are kind of keeping that under close watch, but there's a tremendous amount of value that's going to be added into for you guys here that'll be announced there. Of course, you'll hear it as well after the Summer Summit event. The entity structuring class that Mr. Botiford's going to be doing is going to be amazing, and of course, all of that goes to the Child Welfare Board there in Montague County. So, guys, it's going to be a great time. Hoping I can make it this year as well, if I'm not somewhere else running around the country. So that is all I have to add. Anything else, Matt?
No, I think that's everything. The only thing is, and I know that I've said this several times, and we're starting to get more of this, we have certain emails set up that go to certain places. And I know that I've harped on this a couple of times, but I need to reiterate this. Some people are in and out of the office on part-time basis. Some people are there all the time. Some people are traveling and they can't get their email all the time. So if you have a question about, say, for instance, like I had the post-closing, if you have something about you bought an asset and you have a question on a document or something that you're missing in the collateral file you received, email the general email, which is post-closing, and then any responses that you get, CC everybody, which is the post-closing again. If you have an asset you're wanting to buy and you're wanting to, you know, go to the offering, if you have a question on an asset, do the help desk. Don't send it to individual people because, like I said, they may be out of the office. Especially like, for instance, we've got the hog hunt right now. There are Mr. Speed, Charles, Bob, Angie, a bunch of them have gone out to initially to go out to the hog hunt to kind of meet and greet everybody. So if you send it to them, they may not get it for a day to 2 days because there's very poor email reception out there unless you're logged into the internet. So just remember there are certain things of why we have everybody email those group emails is because that gives everybody a chance to see that and then make sure that they either get a response back or say, hey, look, I know you're out of town, but you need to answer this kind of thing. So I just wanted to make sure just so that everybody gets a response as quickly and expedited as possible, that's really helps us out and it'll help you out in the end too.
Very good. Well, listen, Matt, I appreciate you being on today. I appreciate each one of you guys being on and taking the time on a Thursday to increase your educational level. I hope you hope you picked up a lot of good things from the call today. Eddie will be doing Monday, and I'm sure he'll have some stories to tell you about their big hog hunt over the weekend. And that's all I have to say about that, Mr. Matt. So take care, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you first of next week.
Have a good one, Joe.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.